that guy ain't shit. Sorry ass motherfucker got nothing on me, right? Nothing.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
I am Big Kev.
Why do they call you Big Kev?
Ooh. I am OG.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
I am Scapegoat.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
OG's not actually racist against many people.
There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthless.
I'm not really angry all the time.
This is Kevin destroying the Toy Beast Legends box set.
Fucking garbage! Why?
You know how I know that you're gay?
How? Because you're gay and you can tell who other gay people are?
I know it's fun. You're like, hey, I found buttons. Yeah. Let's push them to piss me off.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Got Converse down and running off my feet. I got a bad mustache, a reoccurring rash, and not a lot of cash.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tom on a Box Groves again. And I just want to paraphrase the way Matt would say it, or I'm sorry, OG would say it, is holy shit snacks in space. Is Daredevil not the best series, comic book-wise, that you can get in a TV platform this year or in the last 5 years, despite, or maybe Flash is a close second. But I just wanted to say that and discuss. Bye.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm here.
That's excellent.
Yep, that's half the battle, right?
That is half the battle. The other half, apparently, is knowing.
Shut. Oh, is it?
It's knowing is half the battle, and then being there, I guess, is the other half.
And showing up. I think we're mixing sayings.
Yeah, I don't think
this is
going
to work.
I'm going with...
It's 99% perspiration.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going with G.I. Joe. Remember the old G.I. Joe cartoon?
Okay, yes.
Knowing is half the battle?
Yeah,
That was the end stinger, wasn't it?
I think so.
That little thing?
That seems oddly inspirational for a show about selling toys to people.
Well, you know...
Knowing, maybe the whole thing was a wink, like knowing that this is an ad.
Right.
Is half the battle.
We know that what we're doing to you is slimy.
Yep.
Buy our toys, watch our show.
Half the battle is knowing, the other half is paying for this shit.
That's right.
The other half.
Nothing is free.
Nope.
That's the bit. That's the also lesson learned.
But you know what is free?
What?
For 30 days with a trial.
That's right.
And what you can do with that freedom of 30 days?
Yes.
Netflix.
But. Scapegoat.
Yes.
Before we go any further, I know that we have a voicemail, and I want to address the voicemail.
I want to address it too.
But I feel it's very important.
We have to address something more important first.
That we have to say that this is episode 369.
It is indeed.
Big Kev is not here.
Yep.
I don't want there to be confusion.
We're calling the episode I Can't Even.
That's right.
Because it's all odd numbers.
That's right. That's it.
No, are we not doing?
No.
No. Okay. All right.
So, yes, Big Kev is not here.
That is what we're calling it.
He is at Celebration.
Yep.
So you will not hear his voice.
He's allegedly at Celebration.
Allegedly. Yeah, I haven't heard from him.
I know he's in California.
Oh, have you heard that he's landed?
I have heard that the plane is on the ground.
Oh, I have not heard that
much. And he is contained within that plane.
Okay. He's probably messaged both of us, assuming that I've gotten that message, knowing full well that I haven't.
Is it that phantom group message that somehow I don't get one and you don't get the other?
Exactly.
He sent it to those two?
Yes.
Got it.
So good luck, Big Kev.
Yeah. Yeah, enjoy Celebration. We hope to hear back from you. Happy birthday.
Yes, happy birthday.
Call in and wish him a happy birthday if you want.
That's right, yeah. And if you see him on the floor, if you're listening to this before you head to Celebration, yep, give him a birthday hug.
I would agree. He's turning 29?
That's
Is that what he's going with this year?
That's, yeah, sure.
Sure, so that was going with, yeah.
Sure.
All right.
You know, I remember we celebrated his 28th birthday when we did episode one of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
That's so crazy.
But
he found a Lazarus pit of some kind.
Of some sort.
I'm guessing.
But moving along.
Yes.
The voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
No offense to Tom on a Box Groves.
Yeah.
We only played your voicemail because we wanted to talk about Daredevil anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
No offense. I'm just saying.
Because that show is good.
It was amazing.
Yeah, that show's really good.
That show exceeded all possible expectations.
Yeah, which is surprising. So is this going to be spoilery?
Yes.
Are we going to get spoiler?
If you have not...
We can say a couple things before we get to spoiler territory.
Yes, we can say a couple things.
Yeah, the first thing I would say is, the show's damn good.
It is damn good.
It is closer when it's dealing with crime to The Wire than it is to like network television-y stuff. I'm not saying it's The Wire. I just want to be clear.
Yes.
But it is way closer to a realistic portrayal of how crime can deteriorate a city and how you deal with that than, oh, it's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. superhero show kind of thing. The other thing I would say is I think this show has out-DC'd Marvel.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Out-DC'd DC.
Out-DC'd
Marvel,
DC.
Marvel has done what essentially, from this viewing, is a very DC-esque storyline. Better than DC has been doing DC storylines.
Yes.
And as I've said it, and it may be the fault of Warner Brothers and the CW, I said it was kind of like what Arrow wished it could be if they weren't using crayons.
Yes.
It's kind of...
But we sort of had a pre-discussion about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, well...
And my thoughts on that are, I agree with you, mm-hmm. right? But it's odd because... For example, when I was watching Daredevil, all I was focused on was Daredevil. Like, I didn't even try to draw comparisons to it, to anything else.
Yeah.
Not even anything Marvel related, because in all honesty, and you know, maybe this is overhyped, maybe it's not, I don't think you compare it to anything else that we've seen so far.
No, I agree with that.
It stands so far on its own as far as quality in every regard, storytelling, cinematography. Holy shit, the end of episode 2. we're still in the spoiler-free zone.
Yeah.
That I don't want to compare it to anything else. And because anything I would compare it to, or some things I would compare it to, I still think deserve accolades, and I don't want to belittle them by trying to compare it to this.
You are totally right, and that is a smart decision, but because I didn't think of that until after I've done it,
right.
Here is where I've arrived.
Right.
And again, I want to take nothing away from Arrow or S.H.I.E.L.D. or Agent Carter or any other superhero or non-superhero shows on TV right now.
Sure.
I'm just saying that when you do stand them side by side, you're like, wow, Daredevil is a lot better. Like, I don't know how...
Yeah.
They got the ability to do that. It's pretty spectacular stuff.
So if you haven't watched Daredevil from this point forward, at least for the next several minutes, spoiler.
Just skip ahead.
Skip ahead.
You can skip to the next chapter.
Of course, if you haven't watched it yet,
go
what
do
are you
that.
Waiting for?
Yes.
Go watch it.
Yeah. You watch the one episode of Game of Thrones.
Right.
You're not going to know what happens for fucking 7 days. You got plenty of time to watch Daredevil.
I mean, Daredevil has been at, 6 days at this point? That's more than enough time.
Is it really only been 6 days?
Friday.
Wow, that's scary.
So, 6 days.
Yeah, I didn't do it in 2 days.
No,
I didn't.
Not at all.
No.
Marvel threw family friendly out the window.
Yes, they did.
This is not nice television.
It's great to...
It's great, but it's not nice.
No,
not friendly.
Do not watch this with your kids.
Yeah, this is not the same tone as anything you've seen Marvel put out prior.
No, this is closer to Spawn territory than it is like.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's brutal. Mm-hmm. I mean, brutal.
Yeah, but appropriately brutal.
Appropriately brutal.
I feel not. It's not like people said it approaches Sin City, and I would say they talk about the city a little bit, and there's some bone breakage.
Yeah,
but it's not like.
There's only
blood everywhere for no reason.
There's only one death in all 13 episodes that was, I'm going to call it ridiculous because of the level that it went to, but it really wasn't ridiculous. It worked within the context of the story.
I don't know which one you're talking
about. This is the beheading with the car door.
That was a little ridiculous. Yeah,
that was.
But it showed you. Not yet Kingpin's character.
Like, yeah, I mean, that point. Was the full extent of his rage.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, he lost his shit in that moment.
And would you say he lost his head?
Hey, yes.
Hey.
Yes. I would say that. Let's talk about, I'm not going to do episode by episode. We're going to just
can't
highlight
do that.
Some stuff,
that's
right?
a lot, yeah.
So let's talk about that scene at the end of episode 2.
Sure.
This is a 5-minute sequence, right?
Somewhere
or thereabouts.
There.
It's a single shot.
Mm-hmm.
The camera never breaks. Mm-hmm. My understanding is...
It's actually a single shot.
Is that it was the first take as well.
I heard it took 7 or 8 takes to get correct.
Oh, okay. I thought I had heard today that it was the first take. So maybe it was 7 or 8 takes. Either way, it's still impressive.
Yeah.
But it was a single shot scene in a hallway. And it's just beautifully done.
Mm-hmm.
The choreography is amazing.
Yep.
And it's the most realistic fight, I think, in the entire series because of the level of exhaustion on all parts. Daredevil is...
And they're actually probably all exhausted. It is the eighth take.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it is the eighth
take. Charlie Cox playing Matt Murdock, a.k.a. Mm-hmm. Daredevil, is exhausted.
Yep.
Everybody that he's fighting is exhausted. It's just an epic sequence.
It's really impressive.
Yeah.
It does remind me, now that I've seen it, of Old Boy a little bit, which is not a bad thing at all.
Sure.
But
maybe it's an homage to that type of storytelling. Cool.
It was. I heard it was inspired by that and...
And The Raid, right? Yeah. Yeah. But brilliantly done.
Yeah.
Amazingly done. I don't know. I'm trying to think of some of the other things that I really want to highlight. I want to talk about the costume, actually,
sure,
a little bit. Can we jump to the costume?
Yeah, that's far.
Is there something you want to hit on first? I know I'm kind of hopping all over the
place. No, the thing is, there's a lot to talk about, but a lot of it is, we would talk about a thing that is just a plot point that you should watch on your own.
Right.
And then I would say, and that's good. Like, there's nothing.
Right.
You know,
yeah. Like,
it's like Foggy Nelson, great casting or the greatest casting. Like, that's what I would say about that.
Well, you know, we could talk about the casting very quickly then.
Sure. I like the casting. I think the cast is really well put together. I think every character is fairly three-dimensional and actually evolves over time.
Yeah,
I think anything that seems cliche-ish, now that we've seen enough, you know, comic book and superhero related content, they find a way to make still believable or natural a lot.
I agree.
There's a lot of, like, they managed to get the, he's talking to the priest and weighing the morality consequences, and they actually deal with the issues of maybe what he's doing is making the city worse. Like, they actually, and that's what really was cool about the pilot. The whole pilot is a really great episode. And then at the end, they're like, his actions actually made everything fucking shittier.
Yeah.
Like, that's the reality of the situation. So when they finally say at one point, like, no, you created this, because they do this in every vigilante show, like, oh, you brought everyone, you made them crazier. You're like, yeah, kind of, this is, he should give up. Like, why would he keep going? And it seems, and the other thing is, Wilson Fisk genuinely seems like he wants to do the same thing on a bigger scale. There's a whole debate about, like, they dive into the issue of, yes, Wilson Fisk is clearly not a good guy, and as time goes on, you figure out why, which is the point of this. But it's like, there was a time where I knew I was supposed to side with Murdoch, but I'm like, honestly, he's just killing random people, and Wilson Fisk is making the city a better place. Like, what's the difference? He's crossing a different line, cool, but...
Yeah, he's not selling heroin.
I understand why I'm kind of like, well...
Well, but, so in that regard, I think that...
I would have heard against him.
I have two comments here. Let's get back to casting. I thought everybody was great, with the exception of one character, and I don't think this was necessarily the actress's fault. I just found the character kind of obnoxious and probably the least developed character in my opinion, and that's Vanessa, the Kingpin's beau.
Yeah, I don't dislike her.
Yeah, I didn't like her. I found her really annoying. I don't know, maybe I think part of it, I honestly, and this is the actress unfortunately, but part of it, the accent, it's just something about her was really obnoxious to me.
You didn't like her.
I did not. Mm. And I honestly just felt like I didn't quite understand her turn. Was her turn motivated entirely by love and adoration? Was she kind of really just a shitty person to begin with, and Wilson brought out the best, or not the best, but brought that out in her? Like, something about that felt unresolved to me. Like, when you first meet her, I kind of feel like she's not a bad person, and then somewhere along the lines, right, she kind of falls in line with Fisk and she becomes aware of what he's doing, but it's not really clear if it's love or if it's just I want the penthouse and all the luxury that it comes with.
I don't think it's about money. And I think they make that clear with her lifestyle that she lives already.
Right,
and
she
when she talks
like
about her other lovers and different things that she's done, I think it's, he was fully honest with her when it was inconvenient and she likes him anyway. And this is like, who would be honest about some of the shit that he's doing?
Right.
And that made her let her guard down and get more and more involved in that. And then she eventually believed in him. Like, she gives him the idea for a couple of the events where he's like, no, you need to get out in front of it. And then he goes public. Like, that was her.
Yeah.
So I think they become a team almost, and that's what she values. Like, he's not treating her like, oh, you're my mistress or what, even girlfriend, whatever. I don't mean he's cheating on, but you're going to be a partner in this thing that I do, which is what she was looking for the whole time.
Okay. All right.
That's my guess.
And
she thinks she can see to the core of him when he talks about the art. I think that sentence about being a rabbit in a snowstorm, I know it references other stuff, but like the rabbit in the snowstorm and that kind of thing about being that lonely, she connects with him.
Yeah, the whole rabbit in the snowstorm thing, because I want to talk about Vincent D'Onofrio in a second, but the whole rabbit in the snowstorm thing was great because it was completely, it went completely full circle, which I mean, it was, as you see it unravel and as episode 13 comes to a close, you really have that oh shit moment in a really, really good way. And you kind of do feel a little bit sympathetic towards Kingpin a little bit.
Totally.
Like there's a couple of points in time where you don't just think, well, is Murdoch really doing the right thing or blah, blah, but you actually genuinely feel just, there's like this hint of like, aw, yeah, like I kind of feel bad for you.
He was
right
close
now.
And like, you know, could have made the city a better place. And
so
shit didn't work out.
So yeah. I loved Vincent D'Onofrio's portrayal of Kingpin. When I first saw him on screen, I liked it immediately.
Yeah.
But my initial reaction was Vincent D'Onofrio is playing Vincent D'Onofrio and he does Vincent D'Onofrio really well.
Yeah.
And he is the Kingpin and so it works.
Right.
But by the end of the 13 episodes, you realize that he's not playing Vincent D'Onofrio.
No.
He really owned every facet of that character. I mean, down to the tics with the hands and the facial expressions and even the verbal. He had verbal cues and they were like little nuances in his voice that were really well portrayed. But the most amazing part to me was how uncomfortable he was in his skin at every turn.
All the time.
Like every decision he made, from breakfast to I'm gonna kill that guy, he was uncomfortable with it. Like he was genuinely conflicted.
Yeah, and
from his childhood.
And that event from the childhood, right, that's the episode, that's like four or five where they show him in the mirror and he's looking at his younger son. Yeah, that whole thing.
I mean, so
and that was good casting too.
He killed it. Yeah, that kid he killed it though. D'Onofrio absolutely killed that role.
No pun intended.
A jump to the costume.
Yeah.
I
think that ski mask is really clever.
A couple of things. For those of you who aren't familiar, that ski mask, that costume is really pretty much ripped right from the pages of the book. I mean, during the Frank Miller run on Daredevil, that's kind of what he wore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm totally down with it.
Totally fine.
I think it worked great in the show. I think that holding off the costume, the red costume until the end.
Makes sense.
The very end.
Yeah.
Makes absolute sense.
Totally.
Because there's a really good reasoning behind it,
mm-hmm.
and there's a really good story element behind it.
How
and
he progresses makes it.
Really naturally.
Yeah.
And when you think about the actual amount of time that it surpassed during the course of these episodes, which I don't think is that long.
No.
A couple people said they think it's like 6 months or a year. I think it's only a couple months, if that. It might even be smaller than that.
Yeah, I think it's a couple months. Because anytime I thought a significant amount of time passed, they would say last week.
Yeah,
and I was like, okay, last week.
And there were a couple episodes where the episode ended and the next episode picked up literally moments later. So there was, it was a very confined amount of time. So I'm glad that he just didn't suddenly poof, red suit. Like it was.
Yeah.
And a testament to that was the episode where Kingpin goes to get his suit redone.
Mm-hmm.
The first time you meet Potter,
the guy
who makes the suit, right? And by the way, Easter eggs galore in his lab. I mean, they tease the hell out of the future of that character, which is amazing. He becomes Gladiator, I think is the character's name, with the buzz saws and all the, I mean, it's just well done. But that episode where Fisk is in there and he's getting his suit redone and you kind of start to piece it together in your brain, I actually hadn't given any thought to the red suit until that point. Like I got really comfortable with what he was wearing and the story felt so natural that I wasn't even like, I knew it because the fucking Netflix screen is the red suit in your face every time you pull up an episode,
but and you get the title so sequence the episode, every fucking time,
right? You get so into that. The episode that, it wasn't until that episode that I was like, oh shit, it's like episode 10.
Yeah, he still
haven't seen the red suit.
Yep. By the time we got past like five, I knew it wasn't coming to the finale.
Yeah, it was.
I knew they were gonna wait. I just felt, I don't know.
But that being said, the next time you see him, yeah, which presumably will be in Defenders, mm-hmm, he'll be rigged and ready to go.
Yep. And they set up, I think they set up pretty much every show in this show.
Did they set up Jessica Jones and Luke Cage? I don't know that they did. They definitely set up Daredevil season two.
How did they not set up Luke Cage?
How did they set up Luke? They definitely set up Iron Fist. No doubt.
They definitely set up Iron Fist. Yeah.
How did they? I don't know that they set up Luke Cage. I mean, maybe I missed something because I was focused on other things, but I mean, they kind of give you Iron Fist's. They definitely make reference to the place where Iron Fist gets his powers, because that's where,
yeah,
Gao is from.
The chased in the hand, and
right, they give you the chased in the hand and all that stuff with Stick. Oh, by the way,
which is
the
awesome
guy that played Stick. That's a great episode.
Yep.
Episode 7, I
he's,
think that
he's
is.
Like as badass as, what's the name of Blade's guy?
Whistler.
You know what I'm talking, yeah, about? He's, yeah, like that kind of mentor.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, absolutely. Shut up, you crybaby, do this thing. But
get up.
Yeah, they have a great,
yeah, a great back and forth.
Yeah, that's really great.
So that they definitely set up Iron Fist, Steel Serpent, you know, the icon on the heroin. But I don't know if they,
maybe
set
there's
up
no
Luke
Cage.
I mean, maybe they did, and
they
I
do,
just missed
they do
it.
Mention some Hell's Kitchen stuff, and I know that there's something about, are you just, they make fun of a lot of stuff. They're like, oh, are you just some billionaire who doesn't have any, like, they actually take time to explain how they can afford all this stuff.
Right, right.
In New York City, like, it's
and
I still like that this whole thing is a consequence of the Avengers.
Yes, right. This is all a direct result of the battle in New York. But what I thought was interesting was they don't give you any real amount of time. Like, what? When after the Battle of New York does this happen?
That's true. I think that's on purpose.
Yeah, like, I'm assuming that this all takes place before Avengers 2, because there's no reference to Ultron. So it's somewhere in between.
I did think at one point one of the buildings was going to be Avengers Tower.
Well, like, because
for
it was
some
in that,
reason, I
especially
just thought,
because it was in that, what's it called? It was in that motion poster that they released. Avengers Tower was in the background
when
he was walking through Hell's Kitchen. So
I thought that was going to be one of the buildings that Fisk had to deal with.
Yeah,
or something
no.
Like that. No.
They did make reference. They referenced Iron Man and Thor, right? I think. And
they had a Captain, right? America, yeah.
So there was that. And obviously the Battle of New York was referenced very well. Mm-hmm. And everything is a consequence of that.
But I guess we won't be seeing him in Spider-Man.
No, poor Ben. I was very sad,
yeah,
to see him go, because I really thought there was some great potential there.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
And not so much. not so much. Which is interesting, because I'm sure when they did Daredevil, they weren't thinking that they were going to have to deal with the consequences of that in a Spider-Man movie.
Not at all.
But Ben Urich is actually a pretty important... He's a pretty big name in the Marvel Universe, specifically working at the Daily Bugle, and has interactions with Peter Parker. They've kind of written themselves into a corner now. They can't really use that character, obviously. But I'm sure they'll just make somebody else up. They'll just create a new...
Ben.
Yeah, just create a new reporter.
It'll be a guy who follows... They may even reference him, but probably not.
Yeah, no, probably not, because in Daredevil, he doesn't work for the Bugle. He works for the New York Bulletin or something like that.
Right.
Because they probably didn't have the rights to the Bugle either.
At the time. Yeah.
So the suit we addressed... What else? What are we missing that was really... meat and potato? I think that's the bulk of it. Oh,
go watch it.
They teased Bullseye. Which I think was really cool.
Oh, I thought it was cool that the orphanage that Matt Murdock is at,
yes,
is the same one as Sky,
yes,
from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which was kind of, because those feel to me less connected,
right,
like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the show, and Daredevil, than Daredevil and any of the other cinematic universe properties. Like, they,
yeah,
feel very far away on purpose. I mean, yeah, one is like a crazy adventure, family friendly, fun
right
trip, and the other is a dark, brooding,
yeah,
look at vigilantism, but
beat the fuck out of everybody.
Yeah.
So they teased Bullseye. They teased Elektra. I think that's it.
How did they tease Elektra?
They mentioned the other girl, the Greek girl. There's a reference. It's Elektra.
Oh.
Elektra Anastasios, or whatever her, yeah, real name is. So they alluded to all those other characters in the Daredevil universe.
And what's Daredevil season two going to be?
What's it going to be?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting, because they haven't actually officially announced Daredevil season two.
Well, they got to get through the Defenders first. They may have some serious plans.
Well, this is what I think what's going to happen is we're going to see Jessica Jones this year. Next year, we'll see. Next year, we might see three. It's very possible we'll see Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and Defenders all next year.
Could
because
be.
Now that Daredevil is done, Jessica Jones is already filming.
Yep.
And will probably not take very long to film because Daredevil didn't take very long to film. I wouldn't be surprised if they fast track the next three into production to get to Daredevil season two. What's it going to be? It could be It could be Bullseye. Kingpin's not out of the picture. So he's definitely
around.
Can
Bullseye be an entire season, though?
He's one of the most notorious Daredevil villains. And it could be Fisk
with
calling the shots, even from prison. And Bullseye being the...
He's not in prison.
Where is he at the end of the episode? Yes, he's in prison at the end of episode 13. He gets recaptured.
Oh, yes. He's in jail.
Staring at the wall.
Yeah, and he's clearly going to run that shit. Anyway.
He's clearly going to run that shit from jail.
Yeah.
And he's already got links to Bullseye. By the way, for those of you who didn't pick up a Bullseye reference, the sniper that shot the cop, when he opens up his sniper bag, there's an ace of spades inside the bag, and that's kind of Bullseye's calling card, for lack of a better term.
Hey.
I mean, that could just be a coincidence, but that would be a really big fucking coincidence.
Not a coincidence.
And I think they actually said that we weren't going to see Bullseye in season one, but they weren't ruling him out for the future. So come on. That's in my opinion, that's the perfect next villain to go after.
That makes sense.
You know, plus season two could deal with whatever consequences
of the Defenders
of Defenders is. We have no idea where that's going to go.
That's true.
You know, they might not wait for a Daredevil season two to give us Bullseye. Bullseye could easily appear in Iron Fist. He could easily appear. He could appear anywhere.
That's what's really interesting. Well, Luke Cage is showing up in AKA Jessica Jones, right?
Yes. We know that. And we knew that. And those cast photos are actually online. We actually have some of those photos. And David Tennant is the Purple Man. Those images leaked online as well. That's Kilgrave. Those are online as well. So there's that tie in there.
It's exciting.
Iron Fist hasn't been cast yet, which I think is interesting. That's interesting.
Oh, it's not public yet. Yeah.
If it's cast at all, we don't know. I mean, I suspect they probably have an inkling of who they want. But maybe it's just not signed yet, but no one's even rumored, not even Latino Review. They haven't thrown out like Jackie Chan.
They haven't made anything.
Nothing.
Up.
No.
Jackie Chan. He's making shit up.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting.
I don't know. I'm excited. It's like a different little corner of the DC universe. Marvel.
Yeah.
Cinematic, like it's still connected, but really it's almost CWE. I feel like it's its own little pocket.
Yeah, but it's nice in that it's connected to everything else.
Right.
It's not just we got the rights.
You know what they don't have the rights to, apparently?
What? Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently this came out in an interview with Mark Ruffalo this week. Marvel Disney does not have the rights somehow to do a Hulk solo movie
without Universal.
Somehow Universal retains those rights.
What?
That makes no sense to me.
I don't get it.
Because did Universal distribute the Ed Norton movie?
Maybe.
That was Marvel. I thought. I mean, Marvel, and it's clearly the same Hulk that's in the current cinematic universe.
Yeah, because of the weak tag and Robert Downey Jr. showing up again.
Yeah, I don't know how that's possible. And Ruffalo didn't give any details, and no one has commented on it. Yeah,
he also may have heard two people on a phone call one time saying, right, did you talk to Universal? Well, unless Universal says yes, and they don't know what not that I don't trust Mark Ruffalo. I'm just saying, a contractual obligation. Why would the actor know anything?
Yeah, I don't. Well, I mean, I guess because he's asked, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, hey.
Hey, can I get my own movie?
Yeah, I think it's probably part of his contract. Because his contract probably lays out to a certain degree not only the number of pictures that he's in, but quite possibly the titles of those pictures. So he would probably have some idea whether or not there's going to be a standalone. And even though people have been rumored, they've been saying Planet Hulk, he's been kind of saying all along, there's no standalone that I know about. And Kevin Feige has been saying, you know, Feige, whatever the fuck.
I don't think they need a standalone Hulk movie, though. I really don't. I don't even know, with your gigantic roster and all the Netflix stuff that can grow from there, and I'm sure they're going to do even more other TV shows.
Right.
Why? Like, Hulk would be nice as a as a cameo character in the way that we think they're going to use him, Avengers 2.5 or Civil War, whatever the fuck they're calling the movie, and all that kind of stuff, and a nice, you know, Avengers character, and he has a good place in a lot of different, but I don't know if I'd want to watch that whole movie again, because what story could they do that wouldn't either have gigantic impact for the rest of the universe,
right,
or be an origin story, which we've seen three times?
It would have to be World War Hulk or Planet Hulk would be a good story, because you send him off to space and he's by himself, but...
Yeah, but that takes away the whole point of linking him into the universe, and then they can't use him in whatever other movie is coming out at the time because he's on some other fucking planet. Like, it doesn't. Right.
I mean, unless he comes back for Infinity War.
Like, if they get rid of him until Infinity War?
Yeah. Send him to space, and then he's already in space to fight Thanos. They're not going to fight Thanos on Earth because he's bigger than Earth. So
That does make sense. But they're probably going to use Guardians to bridge that gap.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt.
But Guardians is going to be end of this and take them to the space.
The other interesting thing is, and I can be way off on this, so I expect voicemails and I expect Agent Smith to call me out and say that I'm supposed to know this shit. And I'm shooting from the hip here, and I'm trying to remember, but I can't recall 100%.
I wish you passed me a note so I could Google this first.
I think that at one point in time,
yeah,
Hulk was part of the Defenders.
He was.
So they could use him in the Netflix world.
That would be awesome.
He could be the bridge between that universe and the overall cinematic
universe. If he ends up on the Defenders somehow.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
It wouldn't be a
turn. And that would be a good way. And that could be a good decision why Kevin Feige and everyone hasn't decided what to do with Hulk yet.
Yeah. I mean,
and if it's not a film, it probably goes around Universal's bullshit.
Right. Exactly. It's not standalone.
Uh-huh.
It's a good working. I mean,
it's not a bad idea.
He would stand out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, I was going to say, but also, as soon as he hulks out, doesn't that fucking destroy literally season one of Daredevil? Like, he breaks three buildings. That's the end of the season.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, yeah, I don't know. It all depends on the progression of Hulk. Because remember, at some point in time in the comics, Bruce Banner gets more control over the Hulk.
He seems to have it even in Avengers.
He kind of hits at it in the Avengers when he's like, that's the secret. I'm always angry. So you get the impression that he has some amount of control. And even in Age of Ultron, you get the impression that he can be controlled. But at some point in time, he almost gets full control over the transformation. He can fully control it. He's not just Hulk smashing every other line. Like, he could have a sentence. He has sentence structure.
Yeah. You know? He learns grammar.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess if he makes the full transformation to that version of the Hulk, he wouldn't just destroy three buildings. Like, do you know what I mean?
It's a good
point. And it would depend on who the big bad is. Like, the big bad would have to be big enough to warrant
the Hulk being there.
You know, because you don't just put the Hulk up against, you know, a ninja.
Yeah, that would be the end. Yeah, he'd step on him.
Yeah,
that
right. That would be
stupid.
And done. And scene. So,
or maybe they put him on the Defenders as Bruce Banner when he can no longer control the Hulk.
Yeah. Maybe he's the big bad. Who knows?
Ooh.
I mean, there's a lot. But that scene, but to me, that'd be annoying.
That'd be stupid.
Yeah. Because that would be, okay, how many times is he going to be the big bad?
That's like, I don't know, going on about S.H.I.E.L.D. versus S.H.I.E.L.D. for multiple weeks for no fucking reason.
You know, I have some theories about S.H.I.E.L.D. versus S.H.I.E.L.D. I wasn't going to go there, but we'll go there.
All right.
I started to think about what they could do with this other S.H.I.E.L.D. storyline that would maybe make me happy.
Did you watch this week's episode?
I have not. Okay. So whatever I'm about to say could be completely debunked by this week's episode.
Would it be okay if I debunked you if I can do it that?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I don't care if I get spoiled at this point, to be quite honest with you, with S.H.I.E.L.D. Because I'm kind of so meh on S.H.I.E.L.D. anyway. Maybe you'll say something that'll make me less meh and look forward to it. I'm starting to wonder if other S.H.I.E.L.D., real S.H.I.E.L.D., Edward James almost S.H.I.E.L.D., transforms into S.W.O.R.D. at some point. So S.W.O.R.D. is the kind of... S.W.O.R.D. is the galactic version of S.H.I.E.L.D. It kind of deals directly with threats from space as opposed to threats on the ground.
So
boots on the ground.
If I were going down your path,
I
would say that Edward James Olmos is actually S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
And Coulson is S.W.O.R.D.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Because the next sentence would be a spoiler for this week's episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. So if you haven't watched, please don't listen to this.
Right.
They pretty much reveal what's in, like, what Coulson has been collecting superpowered people.
Right.
And building a base for them.
Okay.
To work with them, and they kind of hint at the fact that Coulson was always, even before he's always been involved in aliens and superpowered people and all this kind of shit, and hasn't been talking about it, from Tahiti to the Avengers Initiative to dealing with aliens and dealing with all this tech stuff, and that he's always been on like the fringe projects, even through the Avengers, they kind of hint at,
right?
And that he's still been doing this all along, and even May didn't know about it, and they're talking about like, well, why was he doing this, and what is the money for, is where they're going right now.
Okay.
So what makes me excited about this is, that's how I hope this would resolve, that Coulson is actually, you start doubting like, wait, what the fuck is Coulson doing?
Right.
Not we're on his side, because I think that'd be a ballsy move in the show.
Sure.
If we've been following Coulson the whole time and he's had a subplot that we're like, wait a minute,
this is shady.
We're not on board with him. Like, right, we're not 100% on board. And that's kind of where they're at now.
Okay.
So I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Also, the whole thing with Sky is still interesting.
Yeah. That was so last week's episode, half of it I loved, which was anything to deal with Sky and that whole storyline. And the other half of the episode, I was just aggravated at the entire time. Every time it happened, I was just like,
this one, at least it went somewhere. Oh, like good. It is the same people having the same conversations, but it's now like they've done with the filler episode and they can move on with what they were going with.
Okay.
Which is also, so.
All right.
We'll see.
Speaking of going somewhere.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to go here, but let's go there. I think that my viewership is going away from Gotham.
I agree.
After this week's episode,
Jesus,
I am no longer committing to season one. I'm done. The only problem I had, I said this online today, the only problem I had with this week's episode of Gotham is that I watched this week's episode of Gotham.
Yeah, it's not good. It's you know, and this week's episode isn't even terrible. It's just
not good.
It's exactly just what Gotham is. It is completely meaningless.
Yeah, there was no glaring Gotham hate this week, right? There was no the acting, the shooting, there was none of that this week. Although
none of that
stuff was good.
Really? But Catwoman coming down with it, she's clearly referencing something in the comics that we don't know, right?
With what?
I could hit you from a brick from over here. Was that a reference?
Oh, I don't know.
I feel like that's a reference.
Oh, maybe,
to something
maybe
that they thought was clever, because it felt like a reference. Like the writers were like, we saw this in a comic once. It's funny. Terrible. Fucking kid acting.
What was the medication, do you think, by the way, for the guy that I thought might eventually one day become Clayface?
Oh, I don't know. Heroin?
I don't know either.
I think it's heroin.
I thought maybe it was booze, but I don't know.
I think it's... But,
and then I thought maybe it's prescription something.
No, because I'm pretty sure shooting gallery is where people go to shoot up heroin.
Oh, is that a shooting? Oh, right. They made reference to the shooting gallery. Rainbows. This week's episode was just, there was just nothing exciting.
Happened.
What could have made this episode exciting this week, and this is going to sound like a joke, but I'm serious, is if they actually killed Fish in this week's episode.
That would be nice.
Like, you see her get shot, and...
because we know she's not coming back. This would be a great way to end her.
Right. So you see her get shot, but then they don't address it any further. And all I could think to myself is, you're going to drag it out for two more episodes.
They are. They're going to do a Penguin-Fish showdown.
So, no, I don't care. Why didn't they just kill Dollmaker at that point? Just fucking stomp him. He's there. No, you're going to leave him to come back after you at some point.
It doesn't make any sense.
It was even Riddler was useless this week. He was a boob this week. is that supposed to be a riddle? It was just, it's like written by a third grade. My son tells better stories sometimes than the writers on Gotham.
Yeah, it's not.
I'm done. I no longer want to commit my time to that show. And I was really trying to stick through season one, and I wanted to be able to talk about it for the sake of this show, podcast.
But especially since you've involved yourself in Daredevil.
Yeah.
And you have other stuff like Arrow and Flash.
Right.
You don't need this piece of shit. It doesn't need to take up any time.
No.
Just get rid of it.
So this is probably your last Gotham rant.
Yeah.
I'll continue to report on little bits of news that we hear.
Yes.
I think there's something significant, because obviously that's what we do.
Yeah.
But
I'm not committing to watching. I will probably end up, if I have nothing else to do, sitting hate watching 42 minutes of this thing. But
right.
I may not.
Yeah.
I'm done.
I'm not going to try to make sure that I watch it before the episode.
No.
Right. If I have a long weekend, and I'm cutting onions, and I'm already irritated.
Background noise.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I'll put it on, but I'm just done with it. So there you go. There's your Gotham update for the week.
Ugh.
Do you want to talk about Flash?
Sure, quickly.
We can... I liked it.
Yeah.
You didn't like it.
Yeah. I'm fine with it. It was an episode that really felt like
It was a filler episode for yes, sure.
And that's what I didn't like about, because I think we're going down the path of like, oh, there's a couple episodes left. We're getting towards the like big end game kind of stuff. And they're like, actually, let's slow down.
Yeah.
And this was a pacing thing.
For me. Think the only significant thing to come out of this week's episode is
Sisko and Caitlin are on board.
Is not even Sisko and Caitlin are on board, is Sisko's visions.
Yeah.
And I gave you some thoughts on what I think that
I like those thoughts. Because to me, the plot element, like, I want Sisko to know about what happened, because I think the undo of the time travel thing is like, come on.
Right.
But, oh, I'm having visions of an alternate dimension is,
right.
Fuck that. But your explanation, if you'd like to.
Yeah, so my thought is that as Vibe, one of the things he can do, at least in the newer incarnation of Vibe, is he actually can kind of detect and affect alternate dimensions with the Speed Force. And so my thought is that when Wells killed him, he actually triggered his transformation from Sisko to Vibe. And there are triggers throughout the episode that is making him recall a spoiler, by the way, I guess, if you haven't seen this week's episode, there are things throughout the episode this week that's making him recall his death. But clearly we know the death was rewritten.
Yep.
When Barry went back in time, he reversed it. So what I'm thinking is that he's actually starting that, or he's starting to get the vibe, as it was. and he's detecting this parallel dimension that was created by Barry rewriting time.
Yep.
And so this is going to be how they make his transformation for season two. I don't think we're going to see anything too significant. Maybe in the season finale.
You don't think it's finale?
Maybe in the season finale. Maybe he's going to have something to do with the eventual downfall of Wells, which would be cool considering Wells killed him a couple of weeks ago. Maybe. But I'm not sure. But that's my thought, because I can't see how else they're going to explain what Sisko was going through. There's got to be some explanation, unless they're going to pull a Barrett in the woods like Lost does. And I don't think they're going to do that. Like, I don't think they're just going to leave it out there and we never get an explanation. I have confidence in everything they've done so far that they're not going to do that. So
yeah, I like, I guess, that explanation.
I guess Adam on the show this week was pointless. Like, he needed to show up to get his suit fixed, I guess. But I really thought with Sisko working on the suit with him that we were actually going to see the miniaturization. And we're going towards that.
I feel almost like they want to do that, but whatever they're setting up,
right?
Someone would say, well, why doesn't Adam just hide in the lab? You know what I mean? So I feel like they can't do it because it'll feel very, very Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah, I mean.
So they're just kind of hinting towards it?
Well, I mean, clearly they gave us the first hint of it when Felicity injected him with the nanotechs that went in and whatever they did. And then the miniaturization of the bee. We have to go smaller, blah, blah. Clearly they're setting it up.
Yeah.
But I thought we might start to get our first hint. Like, even if it was a, you know, they leave the room and you see the suit like, whoop, whoop, you know, kind of like
really
shrink
tiny.
And get big, like real quick, or like they, you know, something that kind of gives us, cause that at least would have had impact. I feel like the only impact was they found a small bee.
You know what I'm honestly worried about? So the Ant-Man trailer came out,
right?
Which, it looks cool.
Yeah.
That's kind of much how I feel about it. That's all I have to say.
Okay. I think it looks cool.
It looks fun. Yeah. I'm not excited for after Daredevil. I just want to see Avengers 2 and then I'll decide from there. Like, you know what I mean? I don't have like Ant-Man looks sick. It's I am waiting for Avengers.
Right.
I don't know how they're going to, like, the budget. Like, I'm just a little worried about how corny that could look, because these scenes on this episode were passable.
Right.
But the flying looked like CG fly. Like, it wasn't.
Well, here's the answer to your question. The answer to your question is I'm pretty positive that spinoff that I thought was going to be JSA, Just Society of America, is, I think, all but confirmed as being titled The Atom. Now, we knew he was going to go to that show anyway.
Yeah.
But I think what happens is he goes to a show where he becomes the primary budget eater.
Well, then that's backdoor pilot material, so they'll do it.
Right. So they're no longer splitting the special effects budget between Barry and the Speed Force and
that's a good point.
And Arrow in the suit, right? Because they have to keep Barry's effects consistent. And you can't have the Flash not flash around, because that would be dumb. So So I think once he gets his own show and they could focus a bit more on his effects alone, it'll be okay. Because almost everybody else that they've teased for that show is a super, but doesn't require a lot of special effects. It's, you know, it's Snart, the gun, yeah. Canary is coming back, yeah. I mean, but, you know, like, so he'll be the effects heavy portion of that new show, and they can dedicate a good portion of the budget to him.
It's a good point.
So I think that'll be the answer to that down the line.
So is that going to be the even more fun, campier version? Like, Flash is going to get a little dark and Adam is going to be bright and bubblegum?
No, I don't know, because I think that even though it's going to be called Adam, I think it's going to be a much bigger team show than even Arrow is. One of my biggest complaints about Arrow is that you have these great characters that you never use. Like, Arsenal spends more time in the base and going forward looks like in prison than he does in the field. So, you know, I don't know.
No, he spends a lot of time in Speedy's bed.
Yeah, that too. Or left in a pile after Ollie leaves him after a fight.
Yeah.
Oh, you're there? I'm just so, I think the Adam show is going to be pretty heavy with the teamwork. I think, my opinion.
Okay.
All right, let's move forward with some other stuff.
Yes.
Olivia Munn has been cast as Psylocke in X-Men Apocalypse, and the internet went wild. Because some people love Olivia Munn.
Yeah.
And some people hate and detest Olivia Munn.
I've heard that.
There's not a lot of gray there. You are, I think, are in the gray.
Yeah, I'm pretty gray.
You're kind of like, I don't hate her. She was all right in Newsroom.
I think she was good in Newsroom.
So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
I don't care for her. But that being said, I don't care for Olivia Munn. The couple of times that I've seen her act, she's a fine actress. Yeah. Like, I have no problems with her acting. Her personal, like, I never liked her on G4 or any of those shows. I always thought she was just, you know, she was a pretty face.
Yeah.
You know, a pretty face with a video game controller in her hand. But the couple of times that I've seen her act, I have no problem with her acting. So I guess as Psylocke, I think she kind of looks like Betsy Braddock. Certainly it's an interesting addition.
I don't care.
In what I'm calling the I told you so moment, of the last week, Kevin Feige has confirmed a couple of significant things surrounding Spider-Man.
Oh yeah.
Not an origin story.
Yep.
Definitely Peter Parker.
Yep.
Although Peter Parker has not been cast, so they could still cast him as whatever they want to cast him as, you know, racially or whatever. But not an origin story. And I think one of his comments was, you know, Spider-Man is already swinging around New York in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You just don't know it yet. So I think by the time you see him, there will be hints to his existence. It's not going to be an Age of Ultron. They flat out said there is no Spider-Man anything in Age of Ultron.
Yeah, production-wise, that wouldn't make sense.
Right. So we'll see. We'll see. Spider-Man also, by the way, would be a great addition to the Netflix world. New York is his home base. Even though he kind of has powers, he's very much boots on the ground.
Yeah,
so he's kind of a fighter.
Here's the thing,
you know,
I'm not saying I wouldn't mind him showing up there, but the way that Kevin Feige talks about it, it's kind of like we have an unexplored part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and that's high school,
right?
And we're gonna discover high school, and I don't give a shit. So I trust them.
Right.
But the way that they talk about it is like, they think it could be a really interesting dynamic dealing with what it's actually like to juggle that high school age stuff and being a superhero. And I don't care. Do you know what I mean? Like that dichotomy of like how we can explore that to me sounds like, so now we have Daredevil for the older audience.
Right.
That still many people can watch, but really you need to be a certain age. I think Spider-Man sounds like, and it may not be, we're going to go to the younger spectrum. It's for everyone, but really we're closer to Big Hero 6 territory here than anything else.
I don't know.
Is great. I don't dislike Big Hero 6. I just don't know what they mean. What's an exciting high school struggle?
Like, I think it's, you know what it is? I think what I'm hoping is that they use
coming of age shit.
No, coming of age.
That's what
shit.
I don't want
to. I think it's going to be much more. I think they're definitely going to upplay the comedic angle of Spider-Man,
yeah,
which is important to me. That's like one of his number one traits. He's gotta, when he's fighting someone, he's got to hit them with as many bad jokes
as punches
as he does punches. I mean, that's just his style.
Yeah.
You know, he is constantly cracking jokes. And, you know, and so what I'm hoping is that what I think will be interesting is that you'll get this kind of high school storyline and how he interacts. But I think what will really be important is his realization of being a kid amongst a group of men and how that works. Not father figure.
So you mean once he gets introduced to everybody else?
Like because and I
think, are they all going to know he's Peter Parker, the 16-year-old kid from?
Not until after Civil War. I'm guessing that's going to be Civil. I'm guessing he's going to be a part of Civil War. So
it would only matter if he shows up before Civil War.
Correct.
If he knows them in some way as Spider-Man and not as Peter Parker,
or if you see him in Civil War, because we know we're going to see him in Civil War Part One.
Yeah.
So if we get him fully as Peter Parker in Civil War, isn't there two parts to Civil War?
I thought it was just Captain America: Civil War.
Oh, I thought it was. Oh, am I thinking Infinity War is two-part?
Yeah.
So I guess I don't know. I guess we'll have to see him someplace before.
Yeah.
Before Civil War, we'll have to. Is his solo movie before Civil War? It might be.
Did they move it?
The solo movie is 2017. When is Civil War?
2017,
isn't it? So if it comes out before Civil War,
you'll get
Peter Parker. By the time Civil War comes around,
so they can introduce him in the beginning, and then he'll be demasked.
And then he'll be demasked by the end of the episode, and he'll have to choose a side. Obviously, he'll be with Cap.
Interesting.
I think that dynamic of him working with, they've played with that dynamic before of like, you're just a young brash kid and we're the real men, and like, you know, and what
he brings. But he has the real heart.
Yeah, what he brings to the team. Look, he has to be funny. It has to be lighthearted. Yeah. It doesn't have to be romance and drama, but it has to be lighthearted in order to nail that character. I don't know.
I
have a lot of Spider-Man in my head. And I can only think about how they could try to do it.
Casting is
going
to be such a pain in the ass to please people.
Oh, we'll see.
I don't know.
We'll see.
Indeed, we will.
Let's see. Because we're running a bit lengthy.
Yeah, that's all right.
But some of these stories we can fucking cut out. like Daniel Radcliffe playing one of the creators of Grand
Theft Auto. Oh, how exciting. Said no one ever.
We're going to talk about that in 1 second. The director of Wonder Woman left.
Oh, yeah.
Creative differences.
Uh-oh.
So it was funny. So many people took this as an opportunity to slam Warner Brothers. They have no fucking clue what they're doing. Blah, blah, blah. And see, and I actually
think, I would think the opposite.
I think that's what I said.
If they know what they're doing and the director wants to do something else.
This is the Edgar Wright scenario.
Well, here's the difference.
Obviously,
Edgar Wright. We trust Marvel to know what they're doing, and we trusted Edgar Wright to know what they're doing. And when he left, we're like, I don't know. And as time went on with the rest of the movies, we were kind of like, no, I could see how Edgar Wright wouldn't fit.
Yes, but
DC has done nothing to give us trust in any of their creative
endeavors.
But
if there's creative differences over the direction of the film, that means they've given
have direction.
They have thought. Now, it might not be a good thought.
No.
But they have a thought, mm-hmm. which is refreshing.
Agreed.
I still don't care.
No, I don't care.
But they have a thought.
There you go.
There it is.
That's the only way to make that positive news.
Yeah. We kind of talked about the Ant-Man trailer already, so we don't have to talk about that. All right. Two things that I just want to quickly hit, and then we're going to take our first break. Long first segment of this week's episode.
Yeah, it's fine.
There was a photo that was leaked on the, not leaked, it was on Instagram, I think, and it was Jared Leto. With the camera. Did you see this?
Yeah.
So
he's holding it the wrong way.
Is he holding it the wrong way?
Yes, yes.
But what I found interesting about it was nothing other than it was Killing Joke inspired. And considering all the backlash that Killing Joke has gotten recently, the internet was quiet. There was not a single peep.
About this?
From anyone. So this tells me two things. No one legitimately gives a fuck about Suicide Squad.
That
entirely plausible. Or all of the people that were bitching and moaning about the last one are also mostly full of shit, which is also entirely plausible. But The only difference I see is that obviously Batgirl wasn't in the picture, right? But the thing that people were really upset about was the sexualization of Barbara Gordon in The Killing Joke. And the sexualization was delivered in the form of him taking photos and sending them to Gordon. The camera is the tool.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone thought that deep into it that you just did.
Well, then shame on them.
I'm not saying I mean, disagree with that.
Because to me, I don't care.
Yeah.
Right. And I think my comment about the bullshit in regards to the complaints about The Killing Joke cover was a bit harsh. Because I do honestly believe that people could have legitimate triggers, and I don't necessarily fault those people.
Yep.
But I don't quite understand why it's not at least mentioned. You could at least say, well, it's slightly different. I heard nothing.
Yeah.
It was crickets.
I don't think anyone cares about Suicide Squad, though. But
that's even more aggravating. So you're only going to complain about the things that you think are going to garner you the most attention. Like, doesn't something about that seem kind of
shallow? You only care if you can make noise doing it?
Yeah. I mean, but it, to me, that
devalues doesn't surprise me on the internet, though.
No, it doesn't, but it devalues your position. Like, you have to be consistent in order for your position to have true validity.
Yeah, but you don't need validity. People aren't looking for true validity of their position.
I know that.
They're looking for more people to yell with them.
I know. And then just in regards...
But I appreciate your hope.
I know. Oh, me, the optimist.
Oh, you.
The last thing I wanted to bring up, and this is just super, super quick, and it's kind of tied into the whole controversy over the Killer joke thing, was the Frank Cho covers. I thought they were funny. I'm a big Frank Cho fan. I've always been a Frank Cho fan. So for those of you who might recall, I guess it was maybe a year ago, maybe less, there was that controversial Spider-Girl cover by that artist Manara. It was a variant cover, and she was in that, what people said was a sexual pose. What I said was a wall crawling. Because we've seen Spider-Man in the same exact pose a million times in a skin-tight outfit. We've seen him in poses where his bag is highlighted by the spandex in some way, shape, or form. So, but anyway, so Frank Cho took the whole Spider-Gwen thing that's blowing up right now, because it's a hugely immense character, popular character right now with the masses, and he drew Spider-Gwen in the controversial Spider-Girl pose. Now, this wasn't an official cover. This was...
Yeah, that part is what made me... Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to just have some fun. It's very much in his style. Everything about it is very much in his style. The art is clearly his style. That's the style that Frank Cho is known for everything that he does. If you're familiar with Liberty Meadows, if you're familiar with Cave Girl, if you're familiar with anything, that's his style. But what really made it the joke was Spider-Man's head popping up in the background. Deja vu. Like, it was clearly meant to be silly.
Yep.
And so, of course, our friends at, I almost don't want to give the website credit, but
so don't,
but our friends at that website that loves to really overbearingly beat things into our faces.
Hey, at least they have true validity in their position.
Sure, they do. They're consistent, at least. Bitched and moaned and complained and blah, 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 blah. And in this regard, shut the fuck up. This isn't a company backing it. This is him having fun. Yeah. You don't like it? It's art. You don't have to like art. No one is selling it.
Yep.
He just did it. It's so true. I'm sorry. This is different. That being said, as opposed to issuing some retraction or pulling it off of his blog, he doubled down.
Yeah.
And he did a
Which
second
also seemed like a
cover.
Very Frank Cho thing to do.
Yes. And he did a second sketch cover, this time, it was brilliant on so many levels. This time it was Harley Quinn in the pose with Joker taking her photo.
Yep.
And her saying, how long do I have to hold the pose and whatever? Till the internet
explodes.
Yeah. I mean,
This is so last year, I think is what she says.
Yeah, I mean, right, this pose is so last year. I mean, it was brilliant because he took all of the controversies.
He parodied himself.
And just mushed it together and came out with what I would buy a print of that if it were officially released in some regard.
It's pretty cool.
Because I love that it's a commentary on, I don't necessarily love the message so much as I love the commentary on the situation And I love that he had the balls to not back down. It was very
nice. He also released a statement about how no one should give a shit and he's going to do whatever he wants.
Exactly. And he has every right to. Mm-hmm. It's art and you don't have to like art. Art is meant to be controversial in some regards and you don't have to agree with it. If we start policing art.
Yeah, that doesn't usually end well. There's some movies about that.
Yeah,
right?
It's dangerous. Yeah. It's very dangerous.
It's double plus not good.
Yeah, double plus not good. So with that all being said,
yeah,
Scapegoat.
Woo!
We're going to take our first break.
Nap? Did you say nap?
We're going to take a nap.
All right.
With this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 369, Big Kev is not here. During the break, of course, we have a new game stuff tonight. So check that out and we'll be right back.
Indeed.
Hey, it's Laszlo from Los Santos, San Andreas. You're listening to the loneliest man in show business. It's Game Stuff with Coke Logic.
Ahoy, ahoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. Mortal Kombat X, the 10th Mortal Kombat, is now available for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. The story mode is back, set 25 years after the events of MK9, with the returning cast looking aged. Like classic Mortal Kombat, there are fight towers, online mode, match modifiers, challenges, brutalities, too much to mention. It's an extremely packed fighting game, and it looks fantastic. While it's perfect on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, I would completely avoid the PC version. A lot of people who have bought the PC version of MKX have the game downloaded with most of the assets missing, and while they did get some things to run, it would just crash. I would absolutely avoid the PC version until you hear it's been fixed. Mortal Kombat X is now available for $60 on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Grand Theft Auto V is finally released on PC. And it's not just the PlayStation 4 version. Even more foliage, even bigger crowds, and the highest resolution textures to play the game in 4K. If you've been waiting for the PC version of Grand Theft Auto V, it's here. Go buy it. Dark Souls 2, The Scholar of the First Sin, has been released on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. It's the HD remastering of Dark Souls 2, with a twist. The enemy placements have been remixed, although there's no option for the original game layout. So if you've already played Dark Souls 2, you'll notice the differences, but it's a game you've already played. And if you've never played Dark Souls 2, the changes will have been lost on you. Although a big factor to pick up Dark Souls 2 would be Scholar of the First Sin includes all three pieces of DLC, which I can attest is the best part of Dark Souls 2. Dark Souls 2 Scholar of the First Sin is available now for $60 for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Deus Ex Mankind Divided has been announced. The sequel to Deus Ex Human Revolution, which was the prequel to Deus Ex, which makes Deus Ex Mankind Divided still a prequel. No release window has been given, but I'm sure it'll get out of the way of this fall's release, Rise of the Tomb Raider. Thus, Deus Ex Mankind Divided would probably be released March 2016. I hope I'm wrong, and it comes much sooner. And finally, Destiny's next DLC titled House of the Wolves will be released on May 19th. And there will be no raid. The one part of the game people stick around for, they're withholding. They already have your money, because you bought the limited edition version when you pre-ordered the game, or you bought the DLC bundle that saved you $5. So now they're saving the raid they had planned for a larger DLC. A major title update in September they're calling Comet. But you didn't buy that thing in September yet. So that's the thing they'll have what you're looking for. The House of Wolves DLC will have some sort of three-player horde mode, which is nice, except for the entire game has been horde mode. Honestly, which mission haven't you already blasted waves of enemies while you're waiting for Dinklebot to slowly unlock a door? And the best part? House of Wolves DLC arrives on May 19th, the same day as Witcher 3. This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
Witches, brew, and Eye of Newt, come to Geekly and bring your brood. Seeking curiosities or collectible oddities? Then come on Saturday, April 18th, from 10 to 5 at 663 Kearny Avenue in Kearny, New Jersey. Geekly.
Weekly has the best creations from local artists, as well as strange and unusual curios from the past. Free admission and fun for the whole clan. Geekly 9 has live DJs, food, raffles, and more. Looking to spice up that potion? Then look no further. Come out to Geekly 9, you'll find the strangest thing.
It's Cleveland at CLE Steven on Twitter. Just wanted to get your quick take. Are you guys reading Convergence? If so, what do you think so far? I did read the first episode. I'll have the second episode, the second issue read before you guys show, just in case. I am getting on a weekly basis, and the first one I enjoyed. I did also read Flash Season 0, the first issue. I got that as a gift, actually. And that's pretty good, too. So those are my introductions to the comic world. So I know you guys haven't covered it, and I was wondering if we're going to start covering Convergence a little more, and with Secret Wars on the horizon, we can start covering those in the weekly shows at all, or at least touch on them here and there. Otherwise, enjoy the show as always. Have a good one. Bye.
And we are back.
Back.
With episode 369, Big Kev is not here.
It's true. He's not.
So so during that break, we had, of course, the new game stuff, which you mentioned. We had a commercial for Geekfly 9.
Indeed.
Which is this Saturday. Unfortunately, I will be the only member of the Geek Squad,
that is,
squad there. But yes, that is okay.
I apologize.
No, no, no. You know what? You have very valid reasons. Yeah. And your valid reasons is that you will be able to participate in our live show.
That is true.
Coming up on Free Comic Book Day at Eastside Comics in Montclair.
Check it out.
So we'll have more information on that after we get through Geekfly. I kind of want to get through this weekend.
Absolutely.
First. But I will have t-shirts, stickers, and buttons at Geekfly. Okay. So if you haven't gotten one yet and you want one, I will have stuff there.
Sounds good.
So we also had a voicemail that we played.
Yep.
Thank you, CLE Steven Cleveland, as we like to call you on the show. So the short answer to your question is we haven't read Convergence
yet. Yeah, no, I haven't read it.
I haven't read it not for want. I was watching Daredevil. Like, honestly, that's the truth. Like, that was my primary focus.
That's pretty much what I did.
Was all of any moment I had was, I have to get through Daredevil.
Yeah.
So I will try to read it probably for the next week. I'll be able to catch up with the first couple of issues.
I'll take a
look. Kudos to you for finally buying your first books. And I'm glad that you're kind of digging the story. Clearly, you are the target for Convergence.
Yeah.
And if it's working for you, then it's going to work for other people. And whatever my opinion of Convergence ends up being, if the end result is it gets you into comics a bit more and it gets you to read stuff, then it's doing its job, and I'm happy about that.
Is that
a good answer?
I think we finally found a place for your optimism.
There you go. Yay! Optimism.
I like that. Yeah. That's awesome.
I have a little bit more optimism.
Yeah.
In the form of some toys that I wanted to talk about last week. And I did not get a chance to. By the way,
what are those?
If you're looking at pictures of these toys on the show or in the gallery, our friend Fireball13Z on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, he is a pretty awesome toy photographer, and he provided us with the photos for these tonight.
Oh, nice.
So check him out on all of those platforms. Matt is a good guy. He is my brother in arms when it comes to Green Arrow collecting. I talk to him daily about what's out and what we can't find and frustrations and aggravations and such.
So this is cool.
He's a good egg. Follow him. But these two figures, and actually, if you're looking at the picture, there are three figures. I just don't have the third one yet, but I should have it shortly. In studio tonight, we have the Dark Archer figure and we have Deadshot. And the third figure is Deathstroke. Now, this is the second Deathstroke figure, but this is season two Deathstroke. This is an island Deathstroke. This is like he has the armor, the updated helmet. It's a nice looking figure.
Yeah.
It's a cool figure. So my only complaint about the Dark Archer figure is that I really wish it was an unmasked version of it.
But who would it?
It would. Well, it's Merlin.
Right.
But because here's my problem. What's going to happen now is that they're going to release this again
with a
new head sculpt. Right. And the idiot in my brain is going to tell me to buy it. And I will. Whereas I could have just had it.
Got it to begin with.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, fair enough.
Let's talk about the Deadshot figure.
Sure.
I like the figure. I think the sculpt on the body and the accessories is great. However, I think this is the weakest facial sculpt so far in the line.
It's also the most, it's like the most naked.
Well, no, I mean, there's been a couple of Oliver Queen and Stephen Amell that I thought were pretty good. And,
yeah.
And I guess Katie Cassidy, although I don't think that's supposed to be Katie Cassidy. I think it's supposed to be, what's her name? Katie Lotz, actually.
Yeah.
But I think it's a weird amalgam of the two. I don't know. Just the facial sculpt is not as good as I think it could be. And actually,
also, what is this logo?
What do you mean?
Arrow the logo. Where else did they show that? This isn't on the show. Yeah.
This? I think it's on all the promotional material.
Okay.
Because on the show, I think they just use the arrowhead.
Yeah.
But I think on all the promotional material, if you look at like the posters,
you have a little
vine
shit.
Yeah, because look at the two bags in the room from past Comic Cons.
Okay,
that's
okay. Fair enough.
I think it's on the posters and stuff like that.
Fair enough.
I seem to see it on like shirtless Ollie ads, you know, like it's in the corner. You know?
All the Got Milk ads that they have.
But look at the picture of Deadshot on the back of the box.
Yeah.
And then look at the figure.
Yeah, not quite.
Yeah, like something happened from initial sculpt to production. Like, he needed to be left in the oven a little bit longer. He didn't quite bake.
Was it premature birth?
It was a premature birth. He's a preemie.
Wow.
But look, it's a cool figure. I'm a little disappointed in the face sculpt. But
it's fair enough.
It's a great great addition to the line.
What price point are we talking about?
These are, I believe, in the $24 price range. However, okay. I did not pay $24 for them.
Got
because
it.
I use an awesome online web service called DCBService.com or DCB. I think it's DCBService.com. It's pretty much you pre-order stuff. You have a finite window to pre-order stuff, and you get it at a wicked discount.
bad at all.
No, it's not bad at all, but if you miss the window,
you should go to bkgeekstuff.
Yes.
.com.
Yes.
Click on Amazon.
I wonder if they have. Yeah, yes. You can pre-order them through Amazon as well. And actually, you get a pretty good deal through ordering through Amazon as well. And actually, I think with Amazon, you're actually more guaranteed to get them than through this other service because you could.
See?
And you get them quicker through Amazon. You have to be patient for this service. Because, for example, Deathstroke, Flash, and the fifth Arrow figure that they've released at this point are all available, and my order has been filled for like the past 2 weeks,
but it has not
shipped.
Oh, that's annoying.
So I think they ship like once a month.
Oh, that's
no matter when it becomes, they wait.
There's just a big empty truck.
Yeah, so if you're not patient, there is fault in that service. But check out Amazon, of course, and we ask you to continue to support.
Do it.
That service. And of course, the wrap-up music has started.
You've heard it?
It's telling me to shut up. Yeah, it started when I started talking about premature birth.
It was more like a gentle, hey, if you could like, simmer down.
Yeah. So don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week. BKGeekStuff.com. Of course, the Amazon link, which we just plugged.
Do it.
We are on the Twitter, although I am the only one who actively tweets. But
that is totally accurate.
But that being said, Scapegoat GS.
Indeed.
BK Geek Stuff, and I am Geek Stuff OG. Facebook, YouTube, all the same. /BKGeekStuff.
All that stuff. You can
find all of us. And
on the socials.
I think that might be it. Do you have anything else?
Not that I can think of.
So with that.
Oh, yes.
We will end this episode the way we end all episodes of Big Has Geek Stuff by saying good night, Herb Trimpy, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.